You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to start there. I want to teach this morning, minister this morning, talk this morning about the need for fellowship, the need for getting together, and it's kind of along the lines we've been teaching. In fact, I taught on the power of we. Not the game, not the electronic thing, but W-E, the power of we, as opposed to, you know, solamente, me only. God didn't call any lone rangers. Who is that masked man? You need to take that off. Are you with me? The only person you know in that scenario is Tonto. You don't even know his name, lone ranger's name. You know his horse's name. And you know he's just going from one place to another, and he never settles down, and you know, he's not a part of a group, but that's not God's plan for you and me. God's plan for us is to be a part of a group. The devil would love to cut us out of the herd or cut us out of the crowd. That's the way a predator does. He gets the weak and gets the old and infirmed and gets them away, gets them alone, and then they attack. You know, lions and tigers and wolves, that's the way they do. Well, the devil will do us that way. Are you with me? He comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, he may not devour us if we'll stay together, if we'll stay hooked up. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil cut you out of the herd. You stay with the herd. Amen. And this is the herd. Get back with your folks. When I say your folks, Christian folk, people that love the Lord, know Jesus, know how to pray, believe with you, and challenge you. You know, we all talk about trying to find ourselves. I just get lost in the crowd. Actually, no, you find yourself in the crowd. In fact, you get lost by yourself. When you're by yourself, you don't really know yourself. It's always amazed me you can live beside someone all your life and never meet them. And yet people do that in cities and, you know, the next door never met them. But I think what's more amazing than that is to live beside yourself and never know yourself. And you think you know yourself, but you don't know yourself. In fact, if you're not around other people, you don't know who you are, really. Because you're not unique by yourself, because if it's just you, then you're all the selves there are. You are everybody. Therefore, you're like everybody because you're all the everybodies there are. It's only when you get around other people that you become unique. Yeah. Isn't that right? That's right? It's only as you get around other people that you can identify yourself. Hallelujah. So we need other people to find ourselves. We really do. We need other people to even know ourselves. That's true. Okay, this is getting deep. But it's the truth, nonetheless. I mean, I think about this. Without comparisons, we don't even know anything. If I don't, it's because I get around you and I see your compassion that I see I lack it. I lack it. I lack it, and I lack it. I lack it a lot. But anyway, I see compassion in others, and I realize I don't have it. But see, if I don't see in others, and I don't get around others, I never know I didn't have it. Amen. I see pride in others, and it challenges me not to be proud. Are you with me? So I need others. In fact, I can't even fulfill the second greatest commandment that Jesus said, which was to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no way I could even fulfill that if I don't get around other people.
That's right.
It'd be impossible to do that, wouldn't it? And so, I mean, the idea that I can just get out here all by myself and just do my own thing and be my own person and, you know, I have my own identity. No, you lose your identity. You absolutely lose your identity when you're by yourself. I mean, the idea that you're normal and everybody else is weird. Come on. Normal people are just people you don't know yet. Or everybody's normal until you know them. I'll get it straight in a minute. But anyway, so we need each other. That's what church is about. I often hear a lot of Christians will talk about, I don't need church. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't come up with that and you didn't come up with that. Jesus is the one to come up with it. He's the one who talked about church. And he's the one that talked about us needing it. And I believe he knows more than we do about ourselves. Yes. And so we need to get around other Christians to be challenged. We need to be around other Christians to help them when they're in need. Amen. I mean, there's, you know, I can think of four reasons why you need to get in church and get the benefit of church. And, of course, one of them is because God said so. That would be a good one right there. Wouldn't you think? God said go to church. Didn't know anything else, that would be good enough. Just a simple obedience would be a good reason to go to church. Forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that. Even more so as you see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. So that would be a good reason. probably the best reason. If you knew nothing else, that alone would do it. Amen? But what did I tell y'all to turn to? It'd be good for me to turn there too. I think I ought to turn there. I won't tell you to turn there. I ought to preach out of it too. But when you think about this also, not only a matter of obedience, but it's a matter of effectiveness. Don't you want to be effective for God? I often hear Christians say, well, I love God. I read my Bible. So, but see, you're not going to be effective as you can be if you'll hook up with someone else. Because one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. And if any two agree as touching anything of my Father, they ask of my Father in heaven, Jesus said, it shall be done. There is just a multiplication of effectiveness when we get together. We are reaching the world from Wells Point, Texas.
Yes.
We are in a what would be considered a small town, a rural community, you know, where you go down on Saturday nights and watch them pump gas. God bless Wells Point. I love Wells Point. But we're not a thriving metroplex. Are you with me? We don't have all the things maybe that they have at the mall. We're not considered a large town by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what? We're doing some large things for God. We're doing some great things for God because we've gotten together. And we've hooked up together. And we've pooled our resources and our gifts, and we have become effective. Boy, that's a reason to get together. That's a reason to go to church. Just to exponentially multiply our ability and our effectiveness for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's awesome stuff. Amen. And then, of course, protection. You know, we even taught on this not too long ago out of Ecclesiastes 4. Woe be unto him who falls and falls alone. When two are together and one falls, one can pick him up.
Yeah.
But woe be to him that falls alone.
That's right.
So just the protection of us, if you were to fall away or if you were to have a tragedy or a crisis in your life, we could just spend the rest of today and tomorrow, probably all next week, getting testimonies of people who have been blessed by brothers and sisters in tragic times in their lives, in crisis in their life, where people undergirded them with prayer, came by, brought food, just helped them through the process of going through the grief and the pain of loss and crisis and tragedy. I mean, we could not thank God enough for each other from just that standpoint. The protection that we've gotten, the benefit that we've gotten from that. And you know, if you didn't have anybody, what do? Who would you call on? You know, I've got my blood relatives who I love dearly, but I am really closer to my spiritual brothers and sisters here. You're more family to me. I don't say that in a demeaning way. I love my parents, but they're a long ways away. Hello. And you're real close. And you have blessed me from being a part of you. You've made me a better man. Absolutely made me a better man. And we ought to want to be a better person, a better... Amen. So there's the benefit, of course, just obedience, effectiveness, protection. And then there's this thing, which we'll get into a little bit here. I'm thinking about, you know, some reasons why we ought to get together, why we need fellowship, why we need each other. Limitations is probably one of the greatest reasons also. You are limited. Every one of us are. You know, the Bible says that we're uniquely gifted, but you know what? We are deficient by design. God didn't give me everything. He didn't make me Superman. He gave me some gifts. He gave me some talents. He gave me some abilities. But I don't have all abilities. And I don't have all talents. And I don't have all gifts. And there's some areas I'm lacking in. I am not the body of Christ. I am a member in particular. We are the body of Christ. Everybody say we.
We.
1 Corinthians 12 chapter talks about that. And the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of thee.
That's right.
Amen? And the foot can't say, you know, to the hand, I don't need you. Well, I wish everybody was like me. Well, I'm glad everybody's not like me.
Right.
What would be the difference in that? What would be the uniqueness of that if we're all just like me or just like you? I mean, can you imagine if we're all just one eye sitting in the chair looking at me? We'd have a whole church full of eyes. Or if we were just all a hand. Well, you know, it would be a loud church. There'd be a lot of clapping going on, but that's about it. Because everybody would be a hand. But it takes more than that to make a body. Amen? And even for a hand to be effective, it has to be connected to an arm. Isn't that right? And even an arm to be effective, it has to be connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the... Yeah, all that stuff. You know all that. So in essence, when you think about a group, what happens there is, because we're limited, oh, we got gifts, no question, but because we're limited, we have to hook up with people. Thank God, God made us that way. He really has forced this issue on us, okay? If we're ever going to be what God wants us to be, we got to get hooked up with people. He made us that way. He gifted us where people need us, and he made us deficient in the sense that we need others. But boy, when we get together, whoo, how beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that runs down the beard of Aaron, down to his garments, the anointing. It is like the dew on the mountains of Hermon, the freshness that comes from him, from the dew in the morning. It's the anointing, it's fresh, and there God commanded the blessing and life forevermore. Unity. That's why God loves it when we get together. That's why the more of us get together, the more the anointing comes. A corporate anointing, see? Hallelujah. Got to have each other, amen? Got to have it. Got to find ourselves. It's the only way we can find ourselves. Praise the Lord. All right, so y'all found Ephesians 4?
Yes, sir.
I just want to give you plenty of time to get there. So he says here in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now here he's talking about what we'd call ministry gifts. There's all kinds of gifts in the Bible. There's gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. You see those gifts going on in a service. Gift of the word of wisdom, gift of the word of knowledge, gift of discerning of spirits, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of prophecy, gift of working of miracles, gifts of healings. I mean, you see these gifts listed, gift of faith, those nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And those aren't what we call ministry gifts. Ministry gifts would be like, I'm a pastor, that's a gift. I didn't get up one day and decide to be a pastor. I didn't just go to school to be a pastor. Thank God for schools. I didn't have the opportunity to go to Bible school. In fact, I actually didn't finish high school. But that was before I got saved. And I got saved, and God thrust me into the ministry, and I began to do mission work, and I began to preach in prisons and open door missions and, you know, on the streets. And then God began to move on me to preach in churches. In fact, I started preaching in Lakewood Church. John Osteen was my pastor for years. We taught in the auditorium class there for years. We were over the counselors for years. They had counselors that counsel with people, and we were the head counselors. And then God thrust me into pastoring. I went to India when I was 23, 24. Spent 6 weeks over there one time, 3 weeks another. Went to Guatemala and flew and landed in the jungle and went up down the river and preached in thatch roof villages and baptized people in the Rio de la Pasión River. The Rio de la Pasión at the Altar de Sacrificio. That's the actual place there in Guatemala. And so I did mission work, and I just didn't have time to go to Bible school. Thank God for Bible school. I was in a good one called Lakewood Church. I was in a good Bible school. But I didn't decide to do this. This wasn't just something I thought would be a good thing. God called me to do this. And God called me to pastor with a purpose. There's a reason why you have pastors. There's a reason you have church. There's a reason we need church. And there's a reason we need pastors. God set these gifts, these ministry gifts of pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teachers in the body of Christ for a purpose, for a reason. So we grow up. So we get in unity. Are you with me? I'm not God. Goodness gracious, there's only one God, not me. There is a God, and I'm not Him. And neither are you. Amen? But there are gifts that He puts in the church, and there's the thing called the church that He starts to help us. To help us find our place. To fit us in. Because we're just a piece to the puzzle, that's all. We're just a part of the body. We're not the body. But we get hooked up with the body, we become effective. You cut this hand off and throw it over in that corner, it's not going to do a whole lot of good. But you get hooked up with this body, all of a sudden, it can function. Amen? So it says here in Ephesians 4, verse 11, speaking of Jesus, Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Incidentally, these are still valid ministries today. They're still around today. Jesus gifted the church with this. There are apostolic ministries, there are prophetic ministries, there are pastoral ministries, teaching ministry, evangelistic ministries. I think pastors, by nature of what they do, are teachers. They should be. I often hear people say, well, you know, my pastor, he's not a teacher. Well, that's kind of a contradiction of terms, because that's what a pastor does, is teach. In fact, Jeremiah 3:15 says, I'll give them pastors after my own heart who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. And the word pastor in its verb form in the New Testament is translated feed 4 times. Feed, feed, feed. So I wouldn't be very much of a pastor if I didn't feed you.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So now there are teachers, I understand that, who are not necessarily pastors. But every pastor truly anointed by God truly should be a teacher.
Amen.
Now there are degrees of that. Some are more anointed than others, and I understand that. But 90% of my pastoring is teaching.
Yes.
Telling you to repent and get right. Not necessarily, just giving you the instruction on what to do and how to turn your life around, how to approach God, how to pray, how to believe, are you with me? How to live holy and live right. How to get saved, how to get full of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean to pray? What does it mean, all these things? See, that's what I do as a pastor. I teach. I'm teaching right now. Why we should get together. What's the point? What's it all about? Why I need church? I love God. I'm a Christian. I don't need to go to church. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, no, no. We all need church.
That's right.
We all need church because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. That's why we need each other.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has a perfect church for imperfect people.
That's right.
This is a perfect church for imperfect people.
Yeah.
Glory.
Amen.
So, it says he himself gave. Everybody say he himself gave.
He himself gave.
Now that's interesting. I'm a gift.
Yeah.
Every minister we have come through is a gift. Other ministers in the church here are gifts. I'm a gift from Jesus.
Yes.
You may say, well, Pastor, I don't like you. Well, talk to Jesus. I didn't give myself to you. He did. Takes the weight off me. Hallelujah, somebody. He says, he gave, and then he goes on and says this, in the 12th verse, the reason, the purpose. There is a purpose. There is a rhyme to the reason. I mean, God doesn't randomly do things. He has a reason for what he does. For, 12th verse, for the equipping of the saints. Oh, hallelujah. So coming to church gives us, we get equipped. We need church to be equipped. We need the gifts of pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher to be equipped. You say, well, I got my Bible, or I got Jesus, all I need is Jesus. Well, all you need is Jesus to be saved. I understand that. But God himself said it is not good for man to be alone. I mean, isn't that fascinating? Here's Adam walking in the garden with God. You'd think that's all you need, man, just me and Jesus. That's all I need. Well, I mean, that may be fine as far as eternal life's concerned, but God didn't save you just to isolate yourself. We're saved to serve. We're saved to love others, love God with all of our heart, soul, and body, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So even when he made Adam, he saw that it wasn't good for him just to be him and Adam. You catching that? God said that. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, I know we apply that to marriage, and that is what he's talking about there, but the principle is true, period. We need each other. It is not good for us to be alone. That's not to say it's wrong to be single and not be married, but it is wrong for you to be not hooked up with anybody, not in a church, not with other Christians and other believers, because you need the strength of other believers, the fellowship that comes, the protection that comes, the benefit, the effectiveness that comes, amen? And you just don't have everything. Amen. We need each other. I need you. I am a better man for having come here. Hallelujah. You stir me in a lot of ways. You challenge me in a lot of ways. I love our class. I mean, we have classes for all ages. We have an adult class, and there's a young adults class, the enablers class. We have classes for all ages. The good thing about class is real relaxed. You get to ask questions and make comments, and it challenges you. It sharpens you. I mean, I just believe anything I wanted to. If no one ever's going to ask me a question, no one's ever going to challenge me, wouldn't matter. I'd always be right. Because if I asked myself, I'd say, yeah, I believe that. That's right. And we'd all agree, me, myself, and I. But all of a sudden now, I can't just say anything because somebody's going to ask a question, and I got to think about that. Is that right? Hello. I can't just live anyway because other people are watching me.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing we judge others. We have a list, you know. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. You know, they always do that. Why do they always say that? And yet we never have that list about ourselves.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, we'll walk around and we never say, why do I always say that? We judge everybody else. Hello. We've got to turn this thing back around. And if you're close to people, you have to. You really can't have too many close friends. You couldn't stand that kind of pressure. But you do need some. You need some close friends that will correct you and talk to you. Amen? That you have the right to speak into their lives. I don't have the right to speak into everybody's lives. I don't know everybody that well. But there's some I know real well that I have the right to speak into their lives. And, because they know I love them. Mm-hmm. Amen? Good. And they have the right to speak in my life too. And I shouldn't get upset about it.
Yeah.
I do, but I shouldn't. I have to repent. Are you with me? But thank God. Thank God for my wife. Thank God I am a better man because of Brenda. I am a better person because of Brenda. We've been married 36 years.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And she has made me a better person. She's challenged me. She's kept me straight. I mean, in a lot of ways. Challenged me, yeah. I've learned to forgive. But, no. I'm just kidding. You just look like you're having too much fun there. I just want to make, you know, keep it balanced. Keep it. I think about things, whether I ought to do this or that, and I'll think about Brenda. And I think, no, she never go for that. So it keeps me straight, you know. So, hey, let's take it a little further. There's a lot of times I'm wondering if I ought to do this or that, and I think about the church. And I said, you know, that wouldn't look good at all. That wouldn't be right. Not necessarily anything really, really wrong with it, but it's just the appearance of it. No. I don't think the church would appreciate that. That wouldn't be good for the church. I'm the pastor. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a pastor. I'm a part of society. I'm a part of mankind. I'm part of the church. Hallelujah. And so that's good for me. I like that kind of peer pressure. That's really good. Are you listening?
That's right.
See, don't be a loner. Don't be a lone ranger. There's no, you can't live that way anyway. You can't sustain that. You're going to need somebody someday. You're going to need some prayers. You're going to need some help. And you're going to need to one day, you're going to have to grow up. Okay, you still love me? And we help each other grow up. Glory. Good stuff. Amen. So he says what the whole purpose of this is, 12th verse, for the equipping of the saints. Now, of course, he's talking about ministry, and that's one of the reasons I'm here, but I'd be a mute point. There was no such thing as the church. What am I be pastor if there's no church? So we're all in this thing together. Amen? And so God's gifted me to help you and me too. I mean, this is mutual. Come on, I'm encouraged by the mutual faith of you, your faith and your lives. And, you know, even when you're obnoxious, that challenges me to be nicer. And when I'm obnoxious, it should challenge you to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be like that. Are you out there?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be fair here, okay? I'm just trying to be nice. Because we do live, we grow from being around each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without examples, we have no goals to shoot for, nor faults to avoid.
Yeah.
Without being around people, interacting with people, there's no honing of the edges. There's no sharpening of the sword. There's no growing up. We need it. We've got to have it. Sometimes we think we're right. And boy, you know, you get around people and you realize how dumb that really was. That wasn't good at all, you know. I thought that was so smart, and it wasn't. Hello. And that's good. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. That helps us grow. But there's a reason for all this, and it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know, God really wants you to do something for Him. He really does. He wants to help you do something for Him. He wants to help you be a light and a witness and example. He wants you to go out and minister to people, lay hands on the sick. He wants you to believe for miracles. He wants you to comfort those that are going through pain and tragedy. He wants you to minister life to those that are lost.
Yes.
He really does. He wants you to help those that are killing themselves because of their sin, their rebellion, and their pride. He wants you to be such an example to them that you would, your presence, your love and your compassion would make them want to do better.
Yes.
There are people I get around and I think, God, I want to be that. I want to be like that. They challenge me. Hello. And if I wasn't around them, I'd just be happy as I could be all by myself. I'd be okay in myself. I'd be a legend in my own mind. And never improve. You'll never get better. You know, never. You know, there's a line in a movie. It was an actor and an actress. And the actress was in the movie. She didn't like this guy, and he just kept hounding her. And finally, she said something like, I didn't see the movie. I just remember the line. And she said, basically, why do you like me so much? Or why do you keep coming? He says, you make me want to be a better man. And I thought, that's such a classic line. Now, I don't know the movie. Don't advocate the movie. I hadn't seen the movie. But I just thought about that. Aren't there people that make you want to be a better person?
Yeah.
They really do. Jesus makes me want to be a better person. When I look at Jesus and I walk with him and I read about him and see how he reacted and acted toward, it just makes me want to be a better person. It really, really does. You know, he got on a boat one time with Peter, and I mean, they caught so many fish. The nets broke. They filled up two boats and they began to sink. Peter hit his knees and he says, oh God, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. There was such conviction on him because he got around holiness. He got around someone that was right. See, and if you never get around anybody, you're never challenged in that area. I know there's some people we can look at and sound better than them. Jesus did talk about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these extortioners and adulterers and murderers out here. I fast twice a week and I tithe of everything I've got. And I thank you I'm not like that sinner over there. And the tax collector wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, the Bible says. And he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went away justified. Because he saw something in him. He saw something he needed to work on. The other guy thought he was just fine. He was better than anybody and everybody. And we are not better than everybody.
Amen.
Hello. You got some gifts. You got some talents. Thank God for them. But you don't have everything.
That's right.
You just not. I can't. Are you kidding? I can't reach the world from Wells Point, Texas. But we can.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't. You know. People talk about me because I'm the pastor, you know, and they put a lot on the pastor, and you'd think I was Superman all wrapped up, you know, and I'm not. Are you kidding? I'd be nothing without Brenda, one thing. And the next thing, we'd be without you. All of us together making this thing happen. I think about a hallelujah now, what a great thing that is. But, you know, I can't do that. She can't do that. We did that.
Yeah.
It's gotten so big, we can't even do it. We got to get other churches to help us do it. And that's awesome. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? It's bringing other churches together. But it's showing us what we can all do if we just get together on something here and just get in unity. Okay. Hallelujah. 12th verse. Boy, we're rolling, aren't we? Got through first verse on the second one. What's the reason for all this? Why have church? Why have preaching? Why get together? Well, for the equipping of the saints. Don't you want to be equipped? I don't want to go out and do a job without the right tools, without the right weapons, try to fight a fight and don't even have a gun to shoot with. Hello. Coming to church, you know, you get charged up. Actually, you get charged up here so you can go out there and serve.
Yes.
We call this the service, but service starts when we leave here.
That's right.
That's where it really starts. This is where we're just getting fed. This is where we're getting stirred, getting challenged, getting charged, getting changed. That's where we go out and do something with it. That's when we go out there and make a difference. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Fight the fight, win the fight. Overcome the world. Hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or charging or building up like a battery. The edifying, the building, the charging up of the body of Christ. You get the body charged up when the body gets together and gets under the anointing, and gets under good teaching, gets under good preaching, gets under these ministry gifts.
That's right.
Man, there's just something about coming to church. I say this all the time, but I mean it from the depth of my heart. I love church. I love coming down here, worshiping God, getting up here and preaching. You know, people often say, man, I love that sermon, Pastor. That was so good. I'm thinking, hey, you got to hear it. I got to preach it. I mean, I love to preach. I love doing it because it changes me. It changes me. Does something to me. There's nothing like church. There's nothing like the staying power of church. There's nothing like the protection that comes from it. There's nothing like multiplying my gift. I'd be nothing without church. Thank God for church.
Yes.
We are making a mark for God. Hallelujah. Yes. We're expanding the kingdom. Hallelujah. People are getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost because of you, because of us getting together. We ought to be challenged to do that. We've got to come out of our comfort zone. We've got to wake up. Hello. There's a big world out here. It's not all about me. It's about us.
That's right.
And I find me in us. But I never find me by myself. I never know who I am. I never know what I can do. I never know what I need to work on without us. But us helps me. This is not grammatically correct. I'm just a spiritual truth, okay? So none of the rules apply anymore. Don't correct my grammar. 12th verse again. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, you can be a help to somebody. You really can. You have something somebody doesn't have. They need you. We need you. This world needs you. This city needs you. This community needs you. This church needs you. And you need this church.
Amen.
We need this church. Yeah. Hallelujah. For the work of the ministry, equipment of the saints, work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till how long? How long are we going to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? How long are we going to need to get together? How long do we need to have church? How long do we need to fellowship one another, get under sound teaching, get under the worship and the anointing? How long till we all come to the unity of the faith? Well, there we go. We can go home now because we're all in unity, right? No, goodness, I'm not in unity with everybody. I don't even believe everything I say half the time. But the more we get together, the more we get in unity. See, you get out there by yourself and you get some weird ideas. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Some of the weirdest people are people out there that, you know, they don't fellowship with anybody. They don't. You get talking to them and, you know, they talk about 5 minutes and I'm just going, I don't even know where they're coming from. I mean, it's so far out there. I mean, they've made so many wrong turns that they're so far off the main road, I can't even, they're lost and I'm lost trying to find them. I can't find them, you know, can't find them. Because there's no unity. There's no feeding at all. You know, I've got pastor friends, good friends of mine, and I'll do this, and they'll do this. They'll call me up and say, hey, I was just studying this, and I was thinking about this. And do you think that God is saying this here? Do you think this verse means this? I don't want to teach it, unless I can get it clear, but I'm just seeing something here, and I'm just wondering, what do you think about that? And we'll bounce things off each other, and that's good. That's very good. Lots of times, because we're close and we're friends, you know, I can say something, you know, that's the weirdest thing I ever heard in my life. And they'll say, yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, scratch that one, you know. And then sometimes it'll be, boy, that is awesome. I never heard that. I think that fits. I think that's perfect. Are you with me? But without each other, we couldn't do that, see? If we weren't close, we couldn't do that because we'd get mad, we'd get upset. Challenge each other. No, we're not challenging. We're just trying to find truth here. And we love each other enough to respect each other enough to respect the advice and the counsel of each other. Amen. Amen? Don't be a loner. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't do that. Don't get off by yourself. Don't forsake counsel. The multitude of counselors, there is safety, the Bible says.
Right.
Hallelujah. Okay. So, y'all getting something out of this?
Yes, sir.
So this is for the purpose of till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of you want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
I do. How many of you want to mature? Yes. You may say, well, I'm already mature. No, I'm sorry, you're not. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was kidding and everything, but I said something about them getting back in church, you know, and I hadn't seen you in a while. You know, I'd just love to get you back in church. You need to get back in church. We need you. And he just kind of jokingly said, he says, well, you know, I went to church when I was a kid and I learned everything I need to know when I was a kid. That's why I quit. I said, I'd really like to go outside and talk to you a little bit about that. I got some questions I'd like to ask you. Because if he knows everything, man, I got some questions. I don't know everything. I wanted to find out, you know, the truth. But we hadn't learned everything. We haven't arrived. We're still maturing. I'm still growing. How about you?
Yeah.
Man, I'm learning every day. I go through the Word to have things jump at me. I think, my Lord, God just put that in there. That wasn't in there last week. So we need the church and we need these ministries till we all come to the unity of the faith the knowledge of the Son of God and of a perfect knowledge of the Son of God. I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't really know him like we should. I know him. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. But I can know him more. That's what Paul said, oh, that I might know him. He was saying, I want a deeper knowledge of him. I want to know him better. I want to know him more. I know Brenda better right now than I did when I first married her. And I think I'd probably still marry her even knowing what I know now. I know I would. I know I would. Okay? Now see, you can be out there and you can say, you know what? I don't want to be like that. Be like that. I've helped you just to saying that. But I know her more now than I did then. And nobody knew her as good as I did 20 years ago. But I know her better now. 36 years of marriage. Then I knew her. Are you with me? See, and that's something about Jesus. You just know him more and more and more. And you need that. I need that. And us getting together helps us to know him more. Hallelujah. Okay. I don't know about y'all. I'm having a big time. I don't know about Brenda. I'll ask her when it's all over. I may have to eat with somebody else for lunch. I'll get a list of what y'all having for lunch. I'll pick it out. So he says this, 14th verse, that we should no longer be children. See there? No longer be children. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, I'm not talking about being saved. We're talking about growing up. I think it's great that you're saved. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to you is get saved. But when you've been saved 30 years and you're still got a bottle in your mouth, something's wrong.
Yes.
That's right.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Hello. Still just as hateful as you were before you got... Come on, we got to grow up here.
Yeah.
Hmm. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Think about that. You know, without church, you don't get stable. You just run after every doctrine in the world. But church keeps us balanced. It keeps us, a good church, obviously. We're talking about a good church, grounded church, mainstream church that teaches the Word of God, that bases everything on the Bible, that has an anointed pastor. I'm not bragging on me. I am nothing without Jesus. Okay, I know I've seen what I could do without the Lord. I don't want an encore. But I am what I am. I am a pastor, and God's called me. And even my memory, my recall of Scripture, my ability to make things simple, and the little examples I use and that just turns your light on and you brag on it, that's Jesus. That's not me. That is God that put that in me. Because I was a basket case before I met Jesus. But so was Moses, so, you know. You got to be quick, because a lot of these you don't get them. You think about them and then you get them. Okay. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. See? What about this? What about that? Oh, I heard this. I'm running over here. Oh, I'm running over here. No, let's get grounded. That's what kids do. You know, they get involved in every little fad that comes along. And without the parents, they'd be a mess. Come on. They keep them balanced. And, you know, in churches that way, it keeps us correct. It keeps us on the straight and narrow. It keeps us right. It keeps us steady. Steady, stay the course, amen. Do what's right. And that's why we need church. That's why we need the ministries of the church. And he goes on, the 15th verse says, but speaking the truth in love, well, this is a good one. Everybody say love.
Love.
You know, I can be hard sometimes because I love you, and you'll get it.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing it out of love, you don't get it.
Right.
And I didn't get it either.
Right. You
can want to help someone, but if you really don't love them, you're not going to really help them, even though you're saying the right thing.
Right.
And that goes back to what I said a while ago. You can't really be real hard and stern with everybody, but there are times you do need to be that way with some people, and you can only really be that way with some people that really, really know you love them.
Yeah.
That's close friends. You know, you got friends that you're friends with. You got real close friends. Then you could be a little more intimate with, and you can correct, and you can be corrected. People can correct you that don't really know you, and you're just going to get mad. People that really love you and you know their heart, you receive it.
Right.
Or at least you'll think about it, you know. Appreciate their concern. Don't agree with them. But I appreciate their attitude, you know. But, I mean, you'll receive it because they have a right to speak into your life. So speaking the truth in love. As we grow up, we're able to receive from each other. Do you know that?
Yeah.
We can receive from each other. And grow. And that's a sign of maturity and growth. It's when we're able to receive truth from each other. That's why the more you come to church, the more you get. Now, you may think that's real simplistic. Oh, yeah, because I get smarter when I come. No, you just break down some of those walls when you come. The more you come, the more you realize we're in this thing together, the more you start receiving truth. Some of us are just now in a position where we can really be changed. Why would you want to quit now? Man, I've been pastoring for 27 years. I'm just starting to get good. Why would I want to quit now? I mean, really, 27 years of pastoring, man, I'm starting to really get this thing now. Woohoo! Lester Summerall, his 75th birthday, I was in Victoria, Texas. I was preaching on Wednesday night. He came into the special meeting on Tuesday night. It was Gary Upham. He was the pastor of that church. Now, Jim and Tamara Graft pastor that church. That's Brother Osteen's daughter and son-in-law, pastor in Victoria, big church down there. But Lester got up. He just turned 75, and he leaned across the pulpit, and he says, "People ask me since I'm he's kind of gruff, because I'm 75, are you going to retire?" You'd have to know Lester. Now, Lester's gone on to be with the Lord. This is years ago. This is probably 20 years ago, plus 30 to 25. He said, "Retire? I just now figured out what I'm doing." Okay. There's always room to grow, amen? Okay, let's wrap this up. He goes on and says this, 14th verse, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, man, you could have a camp meeting on that verse, those two verses alone. Every one of us supplies something. Every one of us, when we're fit together and joined together, cause growth. But if we're separate and apart, we don't cause growth. I mean, when someone sins and falls away, it's not just like losing one out of 100. It's not a number. It's a function. You just lost a foot. Just lost a hand. That's going to affect how the body functions. So when you join a church, you didn't just add a number. You added a function to the church.
That's right.
And now you become effective. And you know what? The church becomes more effective. And then the church starts growing. Because every joint supplies and every part does its service. Amen? And that causes growth. What kind of growth? The growth that causes love, maturity and growth. It says this. This is so neat. It says, causes growth of the body of the edifying of itself in love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. And when a church is growing, there is love in that church. There's love. You can feel it. You can sense it. Because that's what God wants us to mature and grow up into, is love.
Yes.
And without each other, we can't do that. You can love yourself, but you won't love anybody else. And you'll never mature in that. So why do we need church? Well, there's some of the reasons. In fact, you could just list several things that it says there. You know, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, for maturity's sake, and goodness, all these things it lists here. And thank God for church. Thank God for International Outreach Church. Thank God for First Baptist Church. Thank God for First Assembly. Thank God for United Methodist, Church of Christ, Catholic Church. Thank God for church, because church is where we grow. Amen? Now, it's common. There's something common to all of us, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I mentioned all those other churches. But just being a part of that big body is not the same as being part of a local assembly, because it's when we get together like this that we really begin to grow. It was C.S. Lewis said this. He is the preface of his book, Mere Christianity. He said in the preface, he said he wrote the book, Mere Christianity, to just define what we believe as Christians, not as separate denominations. And he didn't get into any of the disagreements, but just the basic Christian doctrine of Jesus dying for our sins, rising again, us needing Him to be saved, and so on and so forth. In the preface, he says, being a Christian is like stepping into a great hall. And you step into this great hall, and there are all these little doors off the hall. And then behind those doors are little rooms. And in those rooms are fireplaces and chairs and couches. He says, now once you get in the hall, you need to pick one of those rooms. And you need to sit down in front of that fire with those people, because that's where you're going to mature and that's where you're going to grow. When you fellowship with one another. The thing you don't want to forget is when you get in one of those rooms, is you don't want to forget the hall that's common to us all. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? So that's why I'm pro-church, and we say this all the time. Thank God for these churches. But you know, we got a fire going here. Yeah. A fire going here. Amen? We got couches. We got some very comfortable chairs here. And we get around and we have fireside chats and we grow and we mature and we're making a difference.